No, it's Just Plain Radio.
Yeah.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I can fly. Take me to the pilot, lead me to the tamer.
Take me to the pilot. Brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
It's your lucky day.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
You got a plane.
Call Just Plane Radio toll-free now at 888-884-2FLY.
And the sky's the limit.
That's 888-884-2359.
Sir, I'd like you to take the helm, please.
I'd be glad to. Greg, your co-pilot, that is me, along with Captain Keith. I was going to say Ed, but he's not here yet.
Not yet.
But he's on the way. He's on the tarmac. He's landed. He just had
he's
got
landed,
into the...
He's rolling in.
Okay. So, Ed is going to be here, too. So, we should have a full crew.
Yes, we
at
will.
Some point during today's virtual cruise through the latest aviation news and information. But in the meantime, I got my buddy Captain Clay helping us out as well from Wyoming. Clay, how are you, buddy?
You know, I couldn't be better if you paid me.
Really?
Which is good, because you don't pay me.
Oh, exactly. I was going to say, please, don't even think about it.
Don't go there.
You know,
that stirs up all kinds of crazy.
I kind of operate like the U.S. embargo. I'm not allowed to exchange financial means amongst any of our crew.
Well done. Like good that. Excuse.
Yeah. Just got back from Cuba, and I got some interesting little insights that I would like to share with you guys today. Maybe you can pick your brain a little bit and figure out how we can go again.
Did you get your passport stamped?
I did. You're looking at me like, why did you do that?
No, not at all.
No, I did, actually. They gave me the option. But I wanted to say, yeah, I went. I went under the right category. The Obama administration has opened up Cuba to more categories of how you can legally travel into Cuba now. And they really loosened the restrictions quite a bit. You still have to fit under, journalism. There's people to people. There's like 12 different categories now. And they seem to keep opening up more. Even while we were down there, it was all over the news that we saw. People were coming up and showing us headlines of a newspaper. Yeah, USA, USA, Obama, yeah. And then, they'd hold up a headline and there's President Obama.
It's kind of sorry to see that Obama's,
What do you mean? Getting credit for it or what?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, he's doing it. I mean, whether he's doing it legally, I guess time will tell. And he's going down there next month. So he's already planned a trip down to Cuba. And obviously all over the news this week, he released his plan on how to close down Guantanamo. So maybe he's going down there next week to escort those terrorists out of the country. I don't know.
Yeah, who knows?
He is definitely working it. And I will tell you, I was conflicted on many things I saw. It was a great trip, first of all. Let me just say that. And the people that we interfaced with down there in Cuba, awesome. Awesome folks. You can't
very
help,
friendly, aren't they?
Very friendly. And you can't help but feel for them a little bit, because there are definitely some things that we take for granted. Pretty much on anywhere else in the world. Like, you go into a restroom or a baño, right? I was working on my Spanish, obviously. So I got that one right. And it'd be 50-50 whether it had a toilet seat. So toilet seats are in short supply in Cuba right now. And then, of course, toilet paper, well, that was a bonus, I guess. That's why Keith is sitting at least 10 feet away from me in the studio today. Is that just coincidence, or do I smell?
Well, no, I noticed a little something when I walked in the room.
A little something going on. Yeah, but, you got that, napkins and things like that, paper products. Yeah, they don't really have access to a lot of that. So, that said, with some basic necessities missing from the... from the folks over there, I got to say their attitude was surprisingly positive. Maybe I didn't get the
full...
For
the most part, no, they really are. I mean, in my experience down there, they were always very positive.
Yeah, yeah. You didn't see them, whining how terrible things are. They're driving around these classic cars, not necessarily by choice, but, man, the ingenuity to keep those things on the road.
Oh, yeah.
Some of them don't look like they should be, but it was cool. And then some of them were very much tricked out, and people that kept them up and refurbish them or whatever. And so there were some really nice cars on the road. We were driving around in a 57 Pontiac, Keith. And it was a bit of a beater. But it was big. He had switched the engine out with a Mitsubishi diesel. This thing got 50 miles a gallon, what the guy told us. So we were riding in style, big time. And it was impressive.
It's funny that they can get some stuff, you know, to be able to do things like that. Mm-hmm. And then other basic necessities of life they can't get.
Yeah,
difficult to get.
I mean, they're just... They're very resourceful, obviously, to keep those cars on the road. They have to. That's why they're still on the road. Now, I'll tell you, the place smells terrible because all the cars are running diesel. There's more smog in that little small area than many places I've been on the planet. So, you know, I might have, you know, inhaled some carcinogens or whatever, you know, I don't know. But you take the good with the bad.
How could you do that? I thought you were underwater the whole time. I thought you were down there for scientific research.
Well, you know, maybe that's why they smoke cigars down there, to just kind of get rid of the smell of the diesel or something. I don't know. I don't know. What do you think of this? Clay, have you ever been to Cuba?
No, I haven't been yet. But I'm sitting here thinking that when they finally open it up to general aviation to fly down into Cuba, those mechanics will be pretty damn good at keeping our airplanes in the air.
You know what?
Technology is like 75 years old.
Anyway. Exactly.
Yeah, just don't expect to have any kind of a sign-off.
Legitimate. Exactly.
It'll get you back and everything else, but it may not be legitimate.
It'll probably work better than it ever has.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Possibly. Yeah, but, you know, the infrastructure needs some work. Some of the roads really nice. Main highways are pretty big and stuff. Definitely when you got out there.
Did you get a chance to really look at their highway system?
Yeah. Well, I mean, we drove quite a bit because we went literally from Havana all the way to the other side of the island, visited a place where there is some diving that they wanted to show us, you know, because we were there with our scuba clientele and doing a little cultural exchange in that regard. But, I don't know.
They've got some great highways that just maybe two lanes.
Yeah,
and
are
all
perfect
of a sudden,
for
it. Just widens up.
Right.
And
yeah, you're thinking exactly what I was, because when we were driving after about 4 hours, I'm like, why are we doing this? There's no telephone poles. We could fly Captain Clay's plane down here, and we got all kinds of runways to land on if we have a problem.
All over that little state.
I did. I was exactly
or
thinking
country,
that same thing.
Whatever you want to call it, yeah.
Yeah. So it's definitely very general aviation friendly in that regard.
Well, no, it's very military friendly in that regard.
Well, yeah, maybe too. But if they do open it up.
If you notice, there's some taxiways that go off of those big, wide highways and go off into the trees.
Really? So you're saying that's what that is?
Mm-hmm.
Those are little stop-off points for the military?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, we didn't see any of those on the road, but it wouldn't have surprised me with all the other stuff from, you know, horse and carriages. You know, it's kind of like a mix between, you know, 1950s metal cars and the Amish.
Yeah.
You know, it was quite intriguing to see that when you're driving through. But
almost like you're driving through Goshen, Indiana again.
Okay, maybe, with an accent, yeah.
Yes.
But I'll tell you, they definitely have the infrastructure for general aviation in that regard. Mm-hmm. It would be very good. And the place is huge. You know, a lot of people, I didn't realize that, you know, Cuba, as far as square footage or square miles, is bigger than Florida, the state of Florida. So we learned that when we tried to drive from Havana to this other place and realize our... You know, we figured it was going to be a three-hour trek, and it was well over six. And in a 57 Chevy where the shocks and the seats aren't as quite as forgiving as they are maybe today, that thing has held up good over the years. But the springs in the back seat and the rumble seat, my ass is not very happy today. You hear what I'm saying?
Between that and no toilet paper, he's in good shape, huh?
Yeah, well, anyway. But, you know, they are opening things up quite a bit. There's still obviously some restrictions and things you got to keep in mind. General aviation, not open. It's definitely not something where you could just figure out how to do this, Clay. You got to get some special permit to fly a plane in there still. But I would think, you know, they're opening up the commercial carriers literally next month, I believe, or in the next couple months. They're going to have like 100 commercial flights a day or something, they're saying. And so I would imagine general aviation is coming shortly thereafter. You have a prediction in that regard, Keith? What do you think?
I think it's going to take a little while because you open it up to general aviation, people can move a little bit more freely.
Yeah.
And
they won't be able to restrict them as much as they need. They'll let the commercial guys go for a while.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's fine.
My prediction.
You know, maybe you need to just go down there and do that in the meantime and then plan your general aviation trip. I had heard about some private pilots had run some trips down there. And we'll talk a little bit more about that next right here on Just Plane Radio.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle. Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder. Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and flight training professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
Whether you're a flight student, an experienced pilot, or simply an aviation enthusiast, there is a place for you as a member of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. Join AOPA to get the latest general aviation news, safety resources, and technical support you need to sharpen your skills and become a central part of the nation's vibrant general aviation community. Learn more about becoming a member at AOPA.org. That's AOPA.org.
As pilots, it's all about the journey. But sometimes situations arise that can turn an adventure into a nightmare. Do what divers do. Join DAN, Divers Alert Network. The many benefits of a DAN membership go way beyond water activities. As a DAN member, you automatically receive DAN Travel Assist and up to $100,000 of evacuation assistance coverage. This applies to both diving and non-diving medical emergencies. Dive into DAN.org for details. DAN, your Dive Safety Association.
With Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Can I let you in on a little secret?
A secret? Just you and me? Sorry, that had to come out. Go on.
I'm not going golfing. I'm taking my first flying lessons today. I always dreamed of being a pilot.
Oh, Jay, that's fantastic. And I totally get it. I had a crush on the pilot who flew the crop duster back home. He had big, broad shoulders and a deep, husky voice that, in retrospect, could have been pesticide-related.
Can you promise me a sky that's trouble-free and clear so it's safe for me to fly?
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me along with Captain Ed and Keith. We got them both. Ed walked in. Hey, he's been flying, I assume. That's your excuse, right?
No, I've been standing outside the studio waiting for you.
Oh, you were in the green room.
I was in the green room
watching the latest episode of Modern Family. Did you see that? With the did you get to the part where they're talking about flying and all that stuff and fly?
Yeah, I saw that on TV far as a commercial, but I didn't actually see it in the green room.
That's right, because we don't have TV.
That's right. This is radio.
Mm-hmm. I don't think we have a toilet seat in there either. Actually, Keith.
Well, you know, we took that away along with the toilet paper.
Exactly. We're just trying to create a bond with our Cubano friends.
Cubano friends.
Yeah, there you go. So, yeah, I just got back from Cuba.
You smell that, Ed?
Yeah.
That's Greg because he didn't have toilet seats and toilet paper.
It was
down.
50-50 whether we came across a toilet seat in the baños.
So between that and the springs popping through the seat in the 57 Pontiac that he was riding in most of the week, he's not feeling so well today.
Oh, poor Greg.
Yes, feel sorry for me.
Never.
Hey, it's more pity, I think, than anything. But anyway.
From us?
Yeah.
Yeah, that ain't ever going to happen.
Oh, that's not what that is?
Okay. That's not what that is.
All right, well, have you been to Cuba, Ed? Or, well, no, you haven't even been out of the country. What am I talking
about?
Yes,
I have.
Well, you haven't been to Cuba, though.
No.
Have you talked to any folks that have flown down to Cuba, have done a little general aviation flight down there?
Well, not general aviation flight. I happen to know an airline pilot's flown in there before.
Well, yeah. And Keith.
And he's sitting right next to me.
Right. We're going to get to that in just a bit. But when I was down there, I did talk to some of the folks. You know, I don't know if they were military. Who knows who I was talking to half the time when we were walking around and chatting with folks. But yeah. I was, you know, keeping my eyes and ears open about general aviation and what might happen down there in Cuba eventually, because it definitely looks like it's going that direction, at least for now. We'll see what happens after the election. That could change everything, obviously. But they're definitely starting to open things up. And I did get wind that there has been some, you know, trips down there with I don't know if it was the Air Journey folks, but there's some people
I know
have been flying down there.
I remember years ago they tried to set something up and rent airplanes to go there, but of course most U.S. airplanes had exclusions for going to Cuba at the time.
Right.
Insurance exclusions.
Yeah, that they would not insure overflights or flights to and from Cuba. Yeah.
Well, in that group I could have heard about that was flying down there might not have been U.S.-based.
Yeah.
Might have been Canada or somewhere else.
But we're preparing to open up a flight school down there.
Yeah, it could
be. Are you? Okay, yeah, maybe.
That's news to me, but, you know, hey, we never talk.
Hey, it's only 90 miles away from Key West. Why not? That'd be a nice little jump. That'd be a perfect leg of one of my flight training excursions, don't you think?
Well, you'd have to start flight training again.
Well, true, but I'm just saying, distance-wise, it's very attractive as far as a place to go. It'd be no different than flying over the Bahamas as far as distance, if not even less.
No. It's actually less than going like to Bimini.
Yeah, and you know, what I was saying before the break there is that Cuba
Bimini's
is much
the closest.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's 42 miles. Bimini's 42 miles from like West Palm, Fort Lauderdale area.
Yeah.
Cuba is 90 miles from Key West, but, you know, it does that dog leg thing. So if you went straight there from Orlando, I don't know. Might not be that far. Pull up for flight. Surely it's on there, Captain Ed. But anyway,
stop
regardless.
Calling me Shirley.
Yeah. Regardless, you know, I think it would be an attractive place to go for sure in that regard.
They definitely have some nice resorts there.
And it's so big, though. Once you get there, flying from one area of the island to the next is definitely the way to go because the infrastructure, there's roads and there's enough of them, but, you know,
but the
it's
vehicles.
Not the most comfortable way to fly or travel throughout the island. And if you had a
only because
a
he
plane,
had a spring coming through the seat of well, the 57
yeah,
Pontiac.
Well, exactly. Well, and it'd be quicker, too. I mean, literally, to drive from one side of the island to the other took us literally 6 hours.
Wow.
And that was a bit of a haul after, you know, getting there and going through security. I mean, that took about 4 hours or whatever. And, you know, it's a long day if you have a place you're planning to go.
4 hours to go through security. How many cavities did they search?
Well, I went through once, and then I asked for a repeat, wouldn't you?
Yeah. No.
No.
Okay, well, anyway, but you have flown there.
I guess he's getting too used to that spring.
Yeah, that was preparation for the spring.
Keith, you have flown there back in the day when you were working for a charter company, and I guess they still do it. I don't know.
They do.
Do they?
Yeah.
So you were flying down there how often?
We would go down there 2 or 3 days a week, and we do 2 to 3 round trips a day.
How does that work? I mean, I don't understand that there's a company that does this already. So who's doing this? Are these Cuban folks that are traveling back family-wise, and they just happen to charter your plane or charter the company that you worked with
down there? Well, it was all done. Let's see. This was back when George Bush opened it up and said that anybody who lived in Cuba who had family that lived in the U.S. could go back and forth every 2 years.
Okay. All right. So that's what's going on. It would be family members that have permission to go down there.
Or if you're a missionary, then you could go every year and a half.
Uh-huh. Okay. All right.
I'm sorry, not 2 years, 3 years. It was 3 years or a year and a half for a missionary.
Hmm. Got it. But so now it's
there was an awful lot of missionaries going to Cuba.
A lot of religious converts.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Well, I can understand that. Okay, well, and now it's getting more loose, so there's probably even more charter flights going. But you were doing that for, what, a few years ago, a couple years? Well, obviously Bush.
What was that? I don't know. Probably 3 years ago that I was doing that.
Yeah, 3 or 4.
Something and you're like flying down there like 3 times a week, back mm-hmm. and forth?
Well, we 2 to 3 days a week, we would go down there.
Yeah, but you could not get off the plane, is what you were telling me.
Yeah, we go inside the terminal and stuff like that, but we never stayed like overnight there or anything like that.
Oh, okay. So you would just you'd get off the plane and hang around the terminal, but you couldn't go through customs or anything like that.
Right.
Okay. All right, but were you able to grab anything from duty free?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you can do that?
Yeah.
Well, golly, I don't feel special then. I brought, they gave me these nice little gifts I brought back. You see it sitting right there. I brought this back for you guys to look at.
I was going to say, I'm going to do more than looking at that.
No. Don't touch. You can only look. And I don't want to offend Clay because he's not here in the studio with us.
Yeah.
Right? Is that nice of me, Clay?
That's really nice of you. I'll join you in spirit, though. How's that?
Oh, I bet you'll join us in spirits.
Take a picture of it, Ed, and send it to Clay.
Yeah, there you go. Rub it in somehow.
At least he gets to see something.
Mm-hmm. True. Well, you know, the souvenirs that they gave us. So I want to go back. We got to figure out a way to fly back, though. You already got the route down, so it's easy enough in that regard. Right, Keith?
Oh, yeah. That's easy.
And I just have to become a missionary?
Yes. That might be the biggest problem.
I think that would be.
Lord Jesus. Oh, God, no.
Feeling the power. I'm feeling something. Yeah, maybe that's just my ass hurts.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I've been up around the stratosphere at 31,000 feet. Here on wings that you can't see. If you're gonna fly high without fear, you're gonna have to learn to love the atmosphere, and you gotta learn to use those wings you can't see.
This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me along with Captain Ed and Captain Keith. Flight Training Professionals, FDPros.com, the website to go to, and have them be your flight instructors. And now we have been working on me getting back in the cockpit, or I should say I have. Now, we've talked about this. I got my eyes checked out.
He's been working on it.
Yeah. And I did do some more research after I had him check my eyes. And basically, the only solution was monovision. All right? And I did talk to AOPA, their medical doctors, Ed, about this stuff. And we didn't talk about this yet, did
we? No, we did. We talked that was a possible option, and you were going to do more research on it.
Yeah.
Because we also talked about the multifocals and stuff like that.
Exactly. So monovision, basically, you correct one eye for up close, and the other eye you can see fine far away, and your brain compensates. Throws off your depth perception initially, but it can adjust, supposedly. So I checked into this, and I could use a contact. I could do LASIK and set up this monovision thing. And I figured, well, I'll try contacts first, and I still have to get the right contact to make that happen. But I called AOPA, and I asked him, and I said, wait a minute. I'm seeing something online here on the website about medical conditions for your eyes. It says monovision's okay, but only if you have it done surgically. And if you want to do it temporarily, like using a contact, that won't work. They won't. The FAA won't approve that for your medical because they said that your brain needs time to adjust for that depth perception issue. So if you have it surgically done, then you have a 6-month window to have your brain adjust, and then you can be tested. And if you test out okay, you're good to go. But if you do the contact where you're popping it in when you want it, and evidently they feel. You know, their theory is, I said, well, yeah, that seems kind of ass backwards. She goes, well, it's the FAA. And I was like,
he's learning.
Yeah.
That part he's learning.
So, I'm kind of back to square one now.
Yeah.
I guess I'm just going back to the cheaters. And it was an exercise of futility. Is that what we call this?
It's CFA.
Futility.
Yeah.
Fertility.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
With Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
What's going on?
We're losing altitude. I'm going to try to put her down at that Air Force base.
Hey, hang on, Chris. We've got a distress call coming in.
Mayday! Mayday! Requesting emergency landing!
I see you, pilot. You are clear for landing.
This is going to be nuts.
God be with them. They landed!
And look!
They're in love.
Oh God, I hope you'll be waiting for me when my plane lands.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me along with Captain Ed and Captain Keith. Also, Captain Clay is with us today from Wyoming. He's been flying all around the country, the Caribbean, I don't know. I mean, you've been all over the last month or so, haven't you, Clay?
Well, not too much. I was down in Alabama and over to Georgia and back, but I ended up getting stuck in Georgia helping out some people for about 3 or 4 weeks. So
yeah,
that was about it. But I had a hellacious flight home. It was miserable.
Yeah, what happened?
It was typical winter flight. It was the jet stream was way south and the winds aloft were high down low, and I flew all the way from Savannah to Kansas at 4,000 feet. With a 35 to 40 knot headwind most of the way. And if I went up to 6,000 feet, it was 60 knots. And at 8 or 10,000 feet, it was 70 or 80 knots plus. So that was a long day.
Yeah, I was going to say, what did that make you make your ground speed, you figure?
Well, it wasn't quite so bad that I, watched the trucks pass me on the highway. But,
yeah.
I was doing, 120 to 130 knots over the ground the whole way back. It was depressing.
Yeah, it wasn't as fast as you were hoping to get home.
Yeah. But the flip side is when I went down to Georgia the first time, I made it there in 7 hours from Wyoming, so that was pretty good.
Mm. Okay, well, yeah.
Climb up to 17,000 feet, and I think I was doing 230, 240 knots over the whole way. So that was nice.
Yeah, well, didn't you say your AC or your heat or something didn't work, or what were you telling me last week when you checked in? Did something happen with the airplane, too?
Yeah, I had there was a seized lock nut on the heater cable, and which when I tried to turn the heat down one time after it warmed up, the heat wouldn't. I couldn't move the little heat knob, so I spent one whole leg about three and a half hours, close to 4 hours, I guess, at 4,000 feet, getting beat to hell by the bumps and with the heat going full blast, and I couldn't turn it off, and it was fun.
Have you had that happen before? Keith,
I've had the opposite happen where
the AC kicked on.
Where the heat goes off.
The heat goes off and it gets pretty cold up there.
Pretty cold up there.
Yeah. Well, I would. I can imagine that being an issue. Well, I mean, couldn't you just pop
the old
window?
Barons used to have a switch on the landing gear, and if you landed just a little bit too hard, it would trip the switch.
Mm-hmm.
And if you didn't check it on your pre-flight,
yeah.
Yeah, you'd take off and you'd get up there and the heater wouldn't fire anymore. So it'd be an awfully cold leg.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and Clay, in your case, the heat wouldn't turn off, so you kind of got a little hot up there. But, I mean, you can crack the window, can't you?
Did you become a Southwest pilot?
What is that? I don't get it. What's the joke? What do you mean?
There's a couple of Southwest pilots that took their clothes off in the cockpit.
There is?
I didn't hear that one.
I want to hear this story.
Now you have Greg's attention.
Yeah. What are you talking about? What, they got so hot they decided to strip down naked or what?
Well, they decided to have a little show for the flight attendant, I believe.
Ah, the old Mile High Club thing.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, and you were there. Why?
No, I was not there.
Oh, okay.
It was all over the news.
It was over. When did they, what? Yeah, was this?
This is actually a couple years ago.
Oh, I was going to say this happened when I was in Cuba or something.
Yeah,
man,
no,
I missed
this is actually
big
a couple
stuff.
Years ago.
Okay, and they just so what happened?
I believe the pilots were terminated.
They were terminated. Okay.
Extreme prejudice.
Yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm. But what, there was a video that popped up online? Or
no, there was no video or anything like
that. Well,
how
did they get caught? I mean, that door is locked. How would you know? I mean, what?
Well, if they were doing it for the flight attendant when the flight attendant came up front.
Oh, you think it was like a, you know, happy birthday present or something?
Well, and, it might have been. I don't know what. I just know that they took the clothes off. So
I just want to know how Keith knows about this.
It was in. I remember hearing it.
You remember hearing about it too?
It was in the news.
Yeah.
Okay.
2003.
See, there you go.
He just Googled it.
2003. Yeah, that was just yesterday.
Yeah, you think so?
That's why Greg doesn't remember it.
Yeah.
His memory doesn't go that far back.
I'm going to have to Google that one myself, though.
So anyway, Greg got off on a tangent. I'm
really? First time ever.
Yeah,
shock.
did you do like a Southwest pilot, Clay?
No.
Didn't, strip
didn't,
down.
Didn't quite get that far. I did open every vent I could get my hands on.
Okay. And but that didn't really help.
You know, it doesn't really help. That heater is pretty effective in that plane.
Well, that's good to know. I mean, yeah, I guess it's better that the heat works than it doesn't when you're up in an airplane, doesn't it? Wouldn't you think?
Well,
depends on the altitude, because, man, it can get awfully cold up there.
Yeah.
Well, I know. That's what I'm saying. I mean, it's better that your heat's working as opposed to the other way, where you wouldn't have any heat.
I don't know.
Right?
I prefer. You can do something about being cold. You can't do too much about being hot, you know, after a certain point anyway.
Well, if you're Southwest, you can.
Well, we've come full circle.
Yeah. Now you have something to add to your emergency procedure checklist. Strip down naked. And there you go. All right. So other than the little burp in the system like that, and you went real slow, you got home okay. But what about before that? Didn't you fly down to the Caribbean? I thought you had to fly down to the boats, or was that just in Alabama? Is that where it was?
No, I had to meet. I was in Mobile, and then I went over to Savannah, and then I had to meet one of the boats in Key West.
Ah, okay.
And fly Captain Keith back to Mobile to pick up his truck, and then back to Savannah.
So, yeah,
a little round trip, and then I was there for 3 or so weeks before I came home.
Well, how's the idea of flying down to Cuba sound to you? I mean, if you were down in Key West, you were only 90 miles away from Havana.
Yeah, yeah.
It would have been a quick little jump there, you think?
Yeah, it won't be any big deal once they open it up and there's procedures in place. I don't think I want to be the guinea pig.
You don't want to be the guinea pig?
Not that adventurous. I'm too old for that.
Air traffic control is very friendly.
Yeah. Yeah, I've never actually flown to Cayman, which is, obviously you need to get a Cuba overflight permit. It'll be sort of interesting to see how they deal with that once Cuba opens, whether they need to deal with the overflight permit or whether that's just any, a normal Caribbean flight where you can pretty much go anywhere you want.
But I would guess that for a while they'll leave the overflight.
Yeah.
But as things progress, they'll probably remove the overflight.
Now, why do you say ATC in Cuba is friendly? What made them so friendly? They just were nice on the radio, what do you mean?
They were very friendly to work with.
Yeah. Yeah. You have
just
problems?
Don't get off the DME arc.
Get off the what?
DME arc.
Which is?
A navigation course.
Yeah.
He's not even a private pilot. You can't say, oh, my gosh, he had no clue what that is.
Well, no, I was asking for everybody who doesn't know. Of course I knew what that meant. Come on. I'm just trying to look out for
our folks. Bovine scatology.
So, if you deviate outside the path, then what? Military folks start
taking notes? No, they'll just give you a heading to turn back to get you back on the arc.
Okay.
Yeah. So their 1950s radar technology down there, which, ours is
1955.
Yes, and ours is.
We have that in common.
You can't use it. It's horrible. But yet, if you get less than a quarter mile off of a DME arc, they can give you a heading to get you back on. They know exactly where you're at.
All right. Any issues? Spanish versus English stuff?
No. Their English is very well.
Yeah,
it's great. English is very well. Did you hear how?
Yeah, I was gonna say maybe theirs is.
Yes.
Isn't so much. Yeah. Right.
Especially coming from me.
Talk.
Yeah.
But I actually flew down there one time with a guy from Argentina.
Yeah.
And he told me, he says, hey, I'd like to speak Spanish to these guys. And I'm like, well, that's fine with me. I said, but just make sure you keep me in the loop because I don't speak any Spanish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think I know C or something like that,
Yeah.
But, we got on the frequency and he was listening to them talk Spanish to somebody else. He says, I don't have a clue what they're saying. Mm-hmm. It was that much different dialect.
Well,
so.
What worked for me is that I had flunked out of Spanish in college, and that actually played to my advantage in Cuba because I was able to pick up a few words, even though I'd flunked out of it in college, and communicated with the folks fine. I mean, most of them spoke about as much English as I spoke Spanish. So when you mashed them together, we actually had fairly good conversations. It worked okay.
Spanglish.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's right, Spanglish. A little bit of Spanglish. And so I don't know.
Flunked out of Spanish?
I did flunk out of Spanish in college.
How do you flunk out of Spanish?
2 years of it, actually.
You flunked twice?
I was in the second year, and I was like, gosh, I'm still not getting it. Okay, whatever. I guess this F is a sign that this isn't my right, the right
this
career path
for you.
Yes, exactly. See? No, you know, it's F. It's an F. You got an F.
C. Yeah. Please, see?
Okay. Well, anyway, we'll have to take Clay's plane down there. I think that would be the ultimate goal. Definitely, okay. That would be the way to explore Cuba. No,
well, he needs to find a place to put his boats down there.
Two birds, one plane, or something like that.
There you go.
One of those. All right, more coming up on Just Plain Radio. Stay close.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
For nearly 75 years, the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association has been a beacon for those who cherish the freedom to fly. AOPA protects your rights as a pilot by fighting airspace restrictions, fuel taxes, user fees, airport closings, and other issues that threaten your ability to take to the sky. AOPA is on the front lines every day to ensure that general aviation and the interests of its members are promoted and safeguarded. Learn more about how you can become a member at AOPA.org.
Should you pee on it? I'm Greg the Dive Master, and I'll tell you if that's how to get relief from a jellyfish sting next.
This scuba tip is brought to you by DAN, Divers Alert Network. DAN helps divers in need of medical emergency assistance with the DAN hotline and is the most recognized and trusted organization worldwide in the fields of dive safety and emergency services, health, research, and education. Join DAN today by going to DAN.org. DAN, your dive safety association.
The dreaded jellyfish can put a serious hurt on the manliest of men. While peeing on it makes for a great YouTube video, it really doesn't work. So what is the best relief for a jellyfish sting? Avoid rubbing the area. Carefully remove the tentacles with tweezers or gloves if available. Flush the wound with seawater and then immerse the area in the hottest water you can tolerate for about an hour. Dive into dan.org for more info and to Scuba Radio to get the urge to submerge. Scuba Radio.
For takeoff with Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
The landing is your first impression. It's your superhero handshake.
We were all meant to fly. Spread your wings across the universe. Soon you'll find that it's your time to fly.
This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me, along with Captain Ed and Captain Keith. Also, Captain Clay helping us out today from Wyoming. After he's been flying across the country with the heater on. Okay, so a couple little tidbits in the news. I got to do a little segment on drones, or just a little nugget, because I don't feel complete if we don't do at least one little story on drones.
Just Drone Radio.
All right, so we've talked about there's been like 350,000 registered drones since the FAA required that process here at the first of the year. Mm-hmm. But I read something that they're still not totally happy because they figure, you know, they don't know for sure, but they think there's over 1 million out there. And so there's still some that need to be registered. But did you see what the penalty is if you get caught flying a drone or whatever happens? And It's like over $250,000 fine. Did you know that?
I didn't see that.
I did not see that.
I know that there was some comments made at the Redbird seminar when I was there by the administrator about that big fine for the group in New York, and it was a realtor group, and they repeatedly ignored warnings, and it was multiple events, and I think they fined them $1.9 million.
Oof.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it says something that they can, you know, per incident, and they can stack stuff on. But, yeah, it's like just starting at $250,000.
Mm-hmm.
So there's an incentive to, you know, pay your $5 and get your drone registered with your name and email address. I think that's all they need. But I didn't realize the penalty was that high. There's another reason why I won't own one. I don't know if I want to take that chance, even though I would register my drone. But if you have a drone and you thought, well, I'm not going to fly it outside my backyard, get it registered. Don't take the chance. That's a hell of a lot of money. You would agree?
I'd agree.
Okay. There you go. Also now, Iron Maiden kicked off their tour, their world tour this week. Now, Bruce Dickinson, the lead singer of Iron Maiden, big fan of Iron Maiden, 666, Number of the Beast. Yeah. Okay, and so they kick
Keith's
off.
Keith's looking at you like, just what is he talking about?
Well, I'm a missionary now. And anyway, that's a whole other
story.
Yeah,
those two go together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so Iron Maiden kicked off their tour in South Florida this week. And he's a big pilot. We've talked about this before, lead singer of Iron Maiden. And they evidently have a new 747 plane for the tour that he flies, or he's one of the captains probably. I guess. And but they get their whole stage show in this plane and fly all around the world and do the show. Now, they've done this they've been doing this for the last 10 years like this, but I guess this is a new one, or maybe they get a new plane each year or each tour.
Well, I think they lease it.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
But it's called Ed Force One. Ed is their mascot of Iron Maiden, and Keith knows this. He has a big Ed on his wall, on his bedroom wall, that him and his wife stare at in the evening before they go to sleep.
Like he knows what I got in my bedroom.
Yeah, Ed the Giant.
I'm just worried that it's Ed.
Yeah, no, it's not me. Guarantee you.
Oh, wait a minute. No, maybe I misunderstood you when you told me that. That's all. That's a even more twisted in image. Anyway, Ed Force One. And if you like Iron Maiden,
it's
kind of
just gone downhill.
Well, no, this is kind of cool. I mean, that he's done this. He's combined his work with being the lead singer of Iron Maiden and flying a big commercial jet around the world. That is pretty sweet. That is quite a gig.
He's a pretty accomplished pilot too.
Yeah.
That he actually, I think, flies the 747 for a charter company too, part time.
Well, yeah. He's worked for as a commercial pilot for a while. So when he's not touring the world as a lead singer of a heavy metal band, he's flying planes all over the place, or doing it at the same time in this case.
Yeah.
So be on the lookout for Ed Force One landing at a potential airport near you, because it has a pretty cool, paint scheme on it. It's all decked out and that kind of thing. And that's what we need for Just Plain Radio.
Yeah.
I don't know if we need a 747.
Why don't you see if they'll give it to you for Just Plain Radio when they're done with it? Just give it. Donate it.
That's true. They can only tour how long?
You're big in the radio biz, right?
Of course. And, you could pilot that plane, couldn't you? Keith could.
I'd let Keith do that.
Can you do a 747?
Sure.
All right. There you go. Done. So, Bruce, I know you listen to Just Plain Radio all the time. When you guys are done with it, it's a world tour. So they're just starting. It's going to take probably 6 months to 9 months, maybe longer. Once they get touring the world and they've, actually think about all the smells in that airplane. It's a rock band.
Came back from Cuba.
Should be no different.
Yeah, I'm guessing how those bands are, finding a toilet seat that's not broken on there might be difficult after a world tour. Who knows? But it's something to think about.
I'm sure there's a few other things, too.
Yeah, there are. Like what? What would you prefer to cover?
Just make sure there's no black lighting on the plane when you get
No black lighting? Why? Yes.
Because you don't want to see what you're going to see
under
the black light.
Okay, I gotcha. I was going to say, there's a good chance there's black lighting and stripper poles on this plane, just knowing their reputation. But anyway, matter of fact, speaking of black lighting, what about that report about the guy being blinded with the laser? Did you see that?
I did not see that.
Ed, did you see this? No.
When was this?
I heard about this actually even when I was in Cuba. There was some guy that he had to get medical attention, one of the pilots.
Oh, wow, yeah, I didn't hear about that.
No, Clay, did you hear this?
I didn't hear about it. I leave the
country and my crew doesn't even know what's going on in the world.
I didn't think that was local Cubano news.
Yeah. I mean, we had CNN. That's why.
So where did this happen?
What's that?
Where did it happen?
It happened in an airplane. I saw it. It was one of those typical things.
Facts.
Where you had a laser.
Don't you know, Keith, facts don't matter. This is radio.
Facts. It is truthful. It happened in an airplane. That makes perfectly logical sense.
Details don't matter.
Right. Yeah.
We'll have to Google it like everyone else and report back next week, as we should have done before we went on the air this week. We'll leave it at that. Till next time, remember, there's no better high
than learning to fly.
Just Plane Radio is brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
I say we take off and nuke the entire site from orbit.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
It's the only way to be sure.
Just Plane Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
But just plain wrong.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past shows worldwide over the internet at JustPlaneRadio.com.
I'm going to leave my people up to the radio tower.
So tell a friend and take off every week with Just Plane Radio.
And I'm going to make a call.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Listen up, everybody. I have some news.
The opinions you just heard on Just Plane Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
We are screwed.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
A little too far. Cross the line.
There are many factors to consider before learning to fly.
What is your problem?
So make sure you do your own research and get the proper instruction before your exploration into aviation.
Thank you very much, sir.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at JustPlaneRadio.com.